T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Happy Friday and good morning. Welcome to 95.7 The Game. Alongside Lorenzo Neal and Dan Dibley, I'm Joe Fortenbaugh. It is great to have you with us today. Mark Schlereth is going to join us in just a few moments. He's a 3-time Super Bowl champ. The word on the street, perhaps Chucky is finally thinking about getting out of the broadcast booth and coming back to the field. So, what would be the likely landing destinations? That plus a realistic view of the Raiders and the 49ers this season. We've got a lot to get to with that, with the Colin Kaepernick update, Kyrie Irving. But before all that, let's go to Dibs in the update.
Couple of personnel moves, Joe. Headline the update this time around. The Raiders have released tackle Austin Howard as veterans will report to Raiders camp today. Marshall Newhouse likely will step in and be the starter at right tackle. Some positive news, it's a signing for the Warriors. JaVale McGee reportedly will re-sign with the team. This according to Chris Haynes of ESPN. The team also gave a training camp invite to Cleveland. Antonius Cleveland, who played for Portland's Summer League team earlier this month. Story number two, a forgettable trip to Canada. In fact, it's oh no, Canada.
Hendricks readies. The leg kick, the pitch, swung on, belted deep down the left field line. It is a grand slam to walk it off.
Vince Catronio, the call here on 95.7 The Game. Walk-off salami to sweep the A's. Steve Pierce authored it. A's hosting Minnesota tonight. Story number three, Giants will try to slow the SoCal roll of the Dodgers tonight. Game one of three from Chavez Ravine. The Giants 31.5 games out of first in the NL West. Matt Moore against Alex Wood. That's your update. I'm Dan Dibley. On your home of the NBA champion Golden State Warriors, it's 95.7 The Game.
Mark Schlereth set to join us in just a moment. Let's jump back to what we were into. Seriously, if you were to rank positions in order of importance on the football field, where would wide receiver go? Because if Odell Beckham's talking about becoming the highest paid player in the game, the Giants have to sit there and think to themselves, how worth it is us to engage this guy? Because we're not going to be able to satisfy him. No one's going to be able to satisfy him. No one can pay him that kind of money. $25 million a year for a wide receiver? And who's to say that 1 year in, when he doesn't become, when he's no longer the highest paid receiver, who's to say he doesn't get upset with his deal? This is the guy that's shown he's got a ton of talent. I mean, that's not even questionable, but he also makes questionable decisions, right? He also has an emotional and disciplinarian type problem. You saw the issue with Josh Norman. Okay, that happens. You saw him on the boat down in Florida the week before the playoff game. Fine. So what? No instance is your day off. You can do what you want. It catches a lot of people by surprise because most of us can't fly to Florida for one day on a day off. We don't have those means. But the reality is, what's his value to that organization? How important is the wide receiver position? Quarterback, left tackle, pass rusher, corner. You can't even make an argument. Those four right there are above wide receiver. How much further are you willing to go? Center?
I had center a little further down. I just put down wide receiver, then linebacker, then running back. I have safety. I have center probably too low. I've got guard at the bottom. That short of punter and kicker, obviously. Long snapper, which is probably more important even.
We can leave specialists out of it. We'll just focus on O and D, but where would you put it? If it's not even top five, how do you entertain the notion that Odell Beckham wants to be the highest paid player in football?
They score touchdowns.
Julian Edelman scores touchdowns. Danny Amendola, Doug Baldwin, Golden Tate, Seth Roberts.
Yeah, but if you go around the league, no one's going to tell you that those guys even can even hold a candlestick to this guy.
But how much better do you need to be to make up the money gap? That's what I'm talking about. So if you can get a guy, a serviceable guy, like a Seth Roberts or Doug Baldwin, whatever those guys are end up making, right? Seattle won the Super Bowl. No one knew those wide receivers. Jermaine Kearse, Golden Tate, Doug Baldwin. What would you rather do? Pay a guy like that who can perform at, say, $4 or $5 million a year, $3 million a year, whatever it may be, or give Beckham $20 million a year. If you've got to give him five times the production, Baldwin's giving you 50 receptions a year. Is Odell going to give you 250 receptions? If Baldwin can give you five touchdowns, can Odell give you 25? If Baldwin can give you 800 yards, can Odell give you 4,000? That's where it comes down to cost versus benefit analysis. If I'm going to pay you 10 times more than a wide receiver who can go 50 receptions for 800 yards and five scores, if I'm going to pay you 10 times more than that, can you give me 10 times the production? That's where it becomes dicey. Tom Brady just won a Super Bowl with a bunch of wide receivers that I don't think anyone's going to be sending them to the Hall of Fame. He's a three-time Super Bowl champion, two-time Pro Bowler. You can catch him as the co-host of Stink and Evans on 104.3 The Fan in Denver. He's also a highly regarded actor based on what I've been watching on TV. Mark Schlereth with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Stink, another great performance on Ballers recently. Congratulations.
Well, thank you, man. I appreciate that. It's been a lot of fun. Ballers have been great. And, you know, there's a sign that hangs out, and I'm at Broncos training camp right now. I'm watching practice, but there's a sign that hangs in the Broncos training room. I used to read it every day. And it reminded me a lot of DJ, The Rock. And that sign says you can easily judge the character of a man by how he treats those who can do nothing for him. He is one of the most gracious people I've ever been around, knows everybody's name, knows all the cameramen and everybody. And I tell you what, man, just takes care of those people. And that's how the set is on Ballers. So it's just a joy to work there, man. Everybody is in it together, and they're having a blast. So, you know, for me, it was really a kind of a breath of fresh air to be put in that situation the last 3 years and just be readily accepted, even though I don't have any clue what I'm doing when it comes to acting.
Well, since you opened the door, I'm going to jump right through it. Any indication that The Rock's going to run for president in 2020?
You know what? He says it all the time. I don't know if he's joking about it on his social media outlets or not, but I tell you what, like I said, one of the most humble and one of the kindest people I've ever been around. So that certainly would be a breath of fresh air in the White House, wouldn't it? I mean, I'd vote for the guy.
And certainly, and I don't think that any, quote, joke about running for presidency can be considered a joke anymore after what we went through last election cycle. You know, the whole idea of a joke run, which turned out to be the president. But I digest, as our very own Lorenzo Neal likes to say. Mark, we're looking at the Dallas situation a lot with Ezekiel Elliott and still waiting for the league to make a decision, yay or nay, on suspension. What do you think happens to Dallas this year in the second year of Dak and Ezekiel and greater expectations?
Yeah, I mean, I think they come back to the pack a little bit because I think it's hard to sustain, you know, a 12-4 record. And I think Zeke is probably going to miss some time. You know, I thought the Lucky Whitehead thing was funny. The sacrificial lamb, we're going to cut him anyhow, even though it was a proven case of mistaken identity. Like, do you think Zeke is actually going to get the message that you cut Lucky Whitehead to show him that you guys mean business? You don't mean business with your star players. You never have. So, you know, for me, there comes the difference between, as my dad used to say to me all the time, no right way to do something wrong. And at some point, the only thing that really resonates with players is losing recess. You know, take them off the football field. Make them a healthy scratch. Don't let them play. And I don't know that the Dallas Cowboys kind of have that as part of their organizational mantra. So they're going to wait for the league to make a suspension. I assume they feel like it's coming because they signed Ronnie Hillman to a deal yesterday, I believe. So that part is a mess. I think they'll come back to the pack to a certain degree, but I think Dak Prescott's the real deal, man. They certainly have a great offensive line, a great receiving core. They've got, which many people don't account for in this day and age of football, Scott Linehan, who was my college quarterback at University of Idaho, is their offensive coordinator, really believes in call it and run it plays, and they have a system to block 8-man fronts, 9-man fronts, like back in the day when Zoe was playing, man. It's what they do, and they've got some of the best blocking tight ends in football. They've had that for a long time, so they always have a plan why they're so efficient in the red zone. Then you mix in the fact that Dak is one of those guys that can run some of that read zone stuff that's thick enough and athletic enough and a good enough runner to do some of that. It gives them another wrinkle in the red zone. They'll possess the ball. They'll be a good team. I think they'll probably win that division, but I think it'll be closer. It won't be the runaway it was last year.
Sure. Hey, Steak, when you're over in Denver, Who's the front runner, in your opinion, is quarterback position here? And you looked at Denver last year, a team that liked to run the ball, didn't do as well as they liked offensively up front, and also on the defensive side of the ball, just against the run. Have they addressed those issues? And are they a formidable opponent? Or this team, you think they're going to get in?
Yeah, I think I think it's going to be really tough based on the schedule and based on what they have on the offensive side of the ball. So many questions. To be a playoff contender, especially in the AFC West, which is arguably the toughest division in football right now with the Chiefs, with the Raiders. San Diego's going to be better than they were last year. There's no question because they were so decimated by injuries. So I think it's going to be really tough for the Broncos to be a playoff contending team. A lot of questions. You talked about the quarterback. 80% of their offensive line has turned over. They're going to probably have a rookie starting at the left tackle position. So a lot of question marks there. The running back position, there's some question marks. They don't have a legit receiving kind of threat tight end guy. So that's going to be a big question for them as well. Right now, you know, it's kind of neck and neck, 50-50 competition. Obviously, athletically, Trevor isn't as gifted as Paxton Lynch. But just a knowledge of the game and an understanding and the fact that Trevor really has the respect of his locker room because of the way he played hurt last year. Going into camp, it's going to be, you know, whoever plays better. I mean, it's the ultimate meritocracy here, even though Paxton was a first-round pick. It really is, and I talked to the head coach, Vance Joseph, yesterday. It's really a 50-50. Whoever performs the best in the first couple of weeks is going to get the starting nod, and that's what they're going to go with. So I still fully expect both players to play at some point during the season because I think there's going to be some growing pains on the offensive side of the ball. But as of right now, I will say that Paxton Lynch has shown great maturity from year one to year two. He's been a totally different guy just from a swagger standpoint than he was last year.
Three-time Super Bowl champ, FS1 analyst Mark Schlereth with Joe Lowen-Dibbs on 95.7 The Game. Finish this sentence for me if you don't mind. The Oakland Raiders will win the AFC if...
If Derek Carr performs. If he is great like he was last year, they win the AFC West. And again, you know, coming off the injury and all those things, you know, the scary thing for me with the Oakland Raiders is they lost their quarterback. And I understand it's hard to win with backup quarterbacks, but they literally tucked their tail between their legs and just quit. They rolled over week 17 against the Broncos when the division was on the line. And they just flat didn't show up. And so it goes to show you how mature he is and kind of how he has the pulse of this locker room. But boy, I tell you what, it was bad. It was a bad performance. So if he is healthy and he is the guy he was before he got hurt, they'll win that division.
Mark Schlereth with Joe Lowen-Dibbs on 95.7 The Game. Before you came on, we were talking about Odell Beckham and his comments recently about wanting to be the highest paid player in football, not just receiver, but player. If you're the New York Giants right now, how do you think you're acting in the front office to comments like that? You're going to disappoint him ultimately because there's no way you've got $25 million to spend per year on a wide receiver.
Right. I think I would laugh it off initially, like he can't be serious. He plays a dependent position. Listen, man, you know, I don't know at what time, at what point receivers started overvaluing themselves to the point where they thought they were the difference maker. If you don't block people, you don't win in the National Football League. It's just the way it is. And you're dependent upon, you know, 10 other guys doing their job before you can get the football. So as far as Odell Beckham Jr. is concerned, I wish I could buy him for what he's worth and sell him for what he thinks he's worth because I quit working and you never hear from me again.
Nice.
He's a legit player. I do remember last year in the playoffs, him taking off his shirt and going down to Miami and then showing up to a game and not showing up in a playoff game, having some drops, having some issues. So, again, like, receivers are great. They're a nice part of the game, especially with the rules, the way they're bent toward throwing the football. I get it. But you are completely dependent on everybody else having success around you.
He sure looked good with the shirt off, though. You got to give it to him. And then, oh, what a boat he had, too.
Hey,
huh,
hey, listen,
weird,
that's
weird, Dibs.
That's a little bit jealousy coming out of me. I wish I looked like that with a shirt off.
Yeah, I wish I had that kind of free time as well. Mark Schlereth joining us here on 95.7 The Game. John Lynch comes to San Francisco with Kyle Shanahan in tow. What sort of expectations can Niner fans have as far as growth of this team? Not necessarily wins, but player development with these two.
I think you've already, I mean, if you've read the articles, Joe Staley has already talked about the difference, the level of, from a competition to just a player standpoint, how much better they are right now. You know, just a talent wise and a level of competition. One thing I know about John is going to, you know, he is going to grind, man. He is a grinder and he understands the value of competition. And he also understands the value of, I mean, the guy's going to be a Hall of Famer, and the guy coming out was considered, hey, good player. He was a backup player initially for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and became a superstar in this league. And that's through work and effort and competition and all those things. And so he'll bring that mentality. I will tell you the other thing. I've been around Kyle Shanahan since he was a kid. Obviously, my time with Denver, Kyle was always around. And Kyle, you have to give him a boatload of credit. And I've talked to Mike about this as well. When Mike and Kyle were in Washington together, Kyle implemented that offense. Kyle put that offense together that won RG3 the Rookie of the Year. And we saw when RG3 no longer wanted to play in that style of offense, we saw his inability to be a quarterback at the NFL level from a traditional standpoint. So you've got to give Kyle a ton of credit with what he did in Atlanta last year, albeit the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl, which was somewhat of a debacle. But he's a great coach. He's a great young coach. He's been around it forever because he was here every day in training camp and everything else back in the day. So to me, you know, you've got a situation now where there's some credibility and some believability rather than what you had the last couple of years with the, you know, who I like to call everybody's favorite butcher, Jim Tom Sula. And then he looked like the butcher from the Brady Bunch or something. Like you just walk into a grocery store and he'd be serving you the meat. Like, what do you want? I'll have a tenderloin. Thanks, you know. And then, you know, obviously with Chip Kelly, who runs that janky high school offense that is unsustainable in this day and age of the NFL. And, it, you know, pieces of that as an adjunct to what you do, great. But making that your offense, unsustainable. And it's unsustainable for your defensive players as well with a 46-man game day roster. It's ludicrous to think that that would ever work. And, you know, a lot of people bought into that baloney. I'm not being one of them, never did. He wasn't going to revolutionize football by serving guys protein drinks at halftime. You know that, I mean, stop it, stop with that garbage. So, they've got a legit NFL coaching staff and front office right now.
He's a 3-time Super Bowl champ, 2-time Pro Bowler. You can catch him on FS1 as the co-host of Stinkin' Evans on 104.3 The Fan in Denver and on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. It's Mark Schlereth with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Thank you for your time, Stink. Enjoy camp, and hopefully we can do it again soon.
Anytime, guys. Take care.
From the 408 on the PenskeAutoSales.com text line, Joe, if OBJ played both ways like Deion Sanders, would he then be worth QB money? No, is the answer to that question. No wide receiver is worth anywhere near QB money. Here are the top wide receivers in terms of contract value at the moment. Number one, Antonio Brown. Good receiver, right? Good receiver. What happened in that game against New England last year when they needed him at, say, if you're going to give him $20 million a year and you want to make these guys the highest paid, what do
right,
you do?
Right. Nothing.
Didn't score, 9 catches, 77 receptions. Got blown out by a better New England team. Number two, A.J. Green. Love A.J. Green. Going back to his time at Georgia, excuse me. I'm not sure anyone high points the ball better than A.J. Green. How many playoff games has he won?
Zero.
That'd be zero. Julio Jones, number three with the Atlanta Falcons, made a monster play in the Super Bowl. He's a monster wide receiver, man. You can't stop the guy. What did it lead to? He couldn't protect that lead. He wasn't the one that took the sack that took him out of field goal range.
Can't contain his earrings either, while we're being fair and honest here. Lost that $150,000 earring while jet skiing.
Dez Bryant's number four. How would you rate Dez Bryant in terms of value to the club?
Pretty high.
Demaryius Thomas is number five. T.Y. Hilton's number six. Keenan Allen, Deshaun Jackson, Larry Fitzgerald, Emmanuel Sanders, Tavon Austin, Allen Hurns, Randall Cobb, Jordy Nelson, Pierre Garcon, Alshon Jeffrey, Michael Crabtree, Kenny Britt. What are we missing here? We're missing Super Bowl winners. You don't have any Super Bowl winners on this list. It's as simple as that. Julian Edelman is not on this list. Why? Because New England realizes you're operating in a salary cap league. So you've got to be very smart about where you're going to allocate the major money. This is something the Oakland Raiders are going to have to deal with in a couple years. What are you going to do with Amari Cooper? If Amari Cooper keeps giving you 85 receptions, 1,000 to 1,200 yards, 8 or 9 touchdowns, how much is that worth? That's a valuable stat line. It's a valuable stat line if it's $5, $6 million a year. What if it's $17 million a year? What do you do if you're the Raiders? Because if you have to choose between him and Khalil Mack, who are you taking?
Khalil Mack.
If you have to choose between him and Derek Carr, who are you taking?
Derek Carr.
Between him and Kelechi Osemele.
Kale.
That's the point. Wide receivers, man, they're flashy. They have cool hair, drive cool cars, have great dances. They've got the comments for everyone. They got the outfits that look good. Everything about the wide receiver is appealing because it's flash, it's style, it's what we want. That's what we look for. No one celebrates an offensive guard. People love wide receivers. But when it's all said and done, when you get to the brass tacks of all of it, what does it mean to have Antonio Brown versus Julian Edelman? What does it mean to have A.J. Green versus Doug Baldwin, right? You just need to figure out how to get the most bang for your buck when it comes to salary cap. Baseball, you can spend like crazy. You can spend $90 million on Pablo Sandoval, and when you don't like how it works out, you can just pay him and let him go. You can pay him and let him go. So the OBJ thing, this is going to get worse and worse for the Giants because they've got Eli Manning. They've got a lot of top-level defenders, especially in that secondary, and at some point, you got to make tough decisions. And if this guy isn't willing to budge off, say, $15 million a year low, what would you do?
They're going to go in a new direction. You almost have to. And he's not going to – he's talking about being the highest-paid guy in the league, Joe. It's not going to happen. And I'm not saying that these guys deserve to be the highest-paid guys in the league. That's not what I was saying. I was just saying there are certain receivers
that
really can help your team. You can put Edelman in a pitch bird, and he's not going to necessarily win the Super Bowl because the offense doesn't fit him as well. It's a different vertical type of offense. They don't have the same coaching staff, so he wouldn't be the same in that type of offense. You saw Randy Moss in a Tom Brady's offense, even if they had an Edelman, when they had a guy like Edelman and Wes Walker with the guy we're talking about, Randy, what, 18 to 20 some touchdowns, he was able to be unbelievable, and it helped everyone else out because of the fact what Brady was able to do with the dominant type of receiver. So I'm just saying it does help your superstar quarterbacks out to have guys at a quarterback at the receiver position that can do other things that a lot of receivers can't do. Just don't overpay. I agree with you.
Ben Roethlisberger told the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette that he does not plan to make any plans beyond this season. In fact, retirement still an option. No serious commitment to the Steelers. What would you make of that if you're a Pittsburgh fan?
I think that Ben won't play more than 2 more years. And if you said, how long? This year, maybe next year would be the absolute max. I don't see it. Ben takes a beating, Joe, and he's beat up. His body's hurting. You see the guy, how he's moving around. Ben's feeling it. I don't see Ben going much longer, 1 or 2 years max. So I think Pittsburgh needs to think about a concession plan. I think they really need to start thinking about that.
How good does it look for the Oakland Raiders then?
Raiders are
This is supposed to be one of the serious contenders that they face in just getting to the AFC Championship game. Not talking about winning the AFC. You just want to be in a position where you're 60 minutes from the Super Bowl. That's it. That's what the goal should be this year. Find yourself 60 minutes from the Super Bowl.
Right. Ben's tired. Brady's not. Even though Brady's older, he's not tired. He still pushes himself. And not to say that Ben doesn't push himself. It's just look at these two guys and listen at their language. Tom doesn't talk like that. Brady talk, you know, you look at Ben, he talks a different way. I think mentally, that's why everyone's talking about how Pittsburgh, to me, I don't see Pittsburgh doing that well this year. I know if they might win, but I don't see them being a Super Bowl contender.
The news surfaced last night in an interview that John Gruden is giving some serious consideration to finally returning to the National Football League. If he didn't want to come back, why would he even bother saying it? So, what would be the likely landing destination if Chucky decides the NFL is for him? That's coming up next. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Happy Friday. Last night, you may have missed it, but it surfaced in the evening. And it didn't gain a lot of traction immediately because it came from a smaller website, pewterreport.com. They've been in business a long time covering the Tampa Bay Buccaneers right out of Tampa. They scored an interview with John Gruden. And Gruden had several things to say of interest, but notably this quote. I've met with several people. I won't deny that. People just about every year. I talk about coming back to coach. I'm not in here every day at 4:30 or 4 in the morning watching pinball, you know? I'm preparing myself to come back. I am. Every day, I'm preparing to come back. Every year, there's speculation when coaching jobs open up that Chucky might get back in the mix. But you never hear from Chucky talking about how he wants to get back in the mix. He kind of just lets it float out there, and then somehow there will be a leak that maybe the University of Tennessee called him, and then shortly thereafter, ESPN will announce they've given him a raise. And that's what he does. He jockeys for money. It's a smart play. It's a smart play when you're in high demand. But, Dibs, the likelihood that this time next year, Chucky's coaching an NFL team again, what would you say it is based on these comments?
I think it's highly likely because these comments are not your garden variety. Well, I've never gotten far away from it, and I'll always have my heart in football. This is him concrete saying, yes, he still watches tape, not only for his own purposes, but also because he's interested in coaching again. He wants to stay on top of the college prospects, the trends around the league. And I think if you look ahead to possible openings and situations, it might just work out. His son is now a junior in high school, so in a couple of years, he'll be an empty nester, which is a perfect time to go back to coaching.
10 years, Lo. He's been out of the game almost 10 years. A lot's changed. A lot has changed. Would it be possible to think that the game has passed him by? That he would come back 10 years later and it's just a different NFL, it's a different world?
I don't think that it's passed him by in that regards, Joe. I think the biggest thing that Gruden would have to be able to deal with is just how much more social networking, how much social media has now been to the forefront with players. Just how visible things are now. So disciplinary actions are different. Teams are run by a different drum. They walk to a different drum beat. So I don't think the game itself is passing by, the X's and O's. Because Gruden, you see the way that he's always up at 4:30. You see the Gruden camp and all the different things he does, the quarterback clinic and all those things he does. So the game definitely hadn't passed him by. The biggest thing is just is he willing to adapt to all the other things that go with it?
There could be some really nice openings for a guy of his caliber come next fall. There always are three
no
or
question.
Four. You look at some of the coaches on the hot seat this year, you can maybe circle five or six different spots that have a good chance of opening up. Anything catch your eye that might appeal to Chucky if, in fact, he were to return to the field?
Oh, yeah. You look around the league, Joe, and you're talking about some teams. Shoot, look no further than a guy that came out that Chucky just loved. Andrew Luck, you look at Indianapolis. Here's a team that Pagano's probably, you don't know what's going on, kind of in the hot seat, him and the owner and all the different things that's been going on. That place there has already a quarterback. It's not like a getting an older quarterback like an Aaron Rodgers. Some of these guys are set in their ways. Here's a guy in Andrew Luck that he can still mold. Here's a guy that he can still have a stamp on, a blueprint on. You look at that team, he likes him. That could be a great landing spot. And look at the Houston Texans. He loved Deshaun Watson. This young man could throw the ball and spin it around. They already got a good defense. Things are in place. It'd kind of be a la the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, where he took over a defense and he had a defense already in place, now needed an offense. This would be a perfect landing spot for old John Gruden.
I got a message up here from the back booth that we have John Gruden on the line. Is that what you're telling me? That John Gruden has called in on a cell phone? All right, put him
this
through.
This is big.
Ladies and gentlemen, John Gruden? John, is that you?
Yeah, can you hear me now? I feel like that Sprint guy. Sprint, yeah. I got to go for a jog.
Coach, is it true? Thank you so much for calling the program this morning. We know you're a busy guy, but is it true? Do you really want to get back into coaching?
Oh, but, you know, I watched my NFL films, Classic Man, back when I was with the Buccaneers, and I got to tell you, man, I was a nut job. I was nuts. Man, no wonder the squirrels in the neighborhood love me.
Coach, our very own Lorenzo Neal on this program, he's going to the Hall of Fame this weekend. Coach, do you think he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame as well?
Oh, absolutely. I got to tell you what, man. We had this play I used to run for Lorenzo Neal. We call it the 41 option. Okay, 41 option. You had one option, and that was getting run over by Lorenzo Neal. I didn't want to call that play, man.
Hey, Coach, what do you think about this Oakland Raiders team? Did they make enough moves in the offseason to compete for a Super Bowl?
I think they did, man. You see this Marshawn Lynch guy. Hey, you know what he calls those Skittles? Power pellets, man. I can't get enough of that. I love them power pellets. Also, Coletti Osemele, The guy's nickname is K.O., man. You know why? Because he'll knock you out, man, and I'm happy that that car is driving the team.
John Gruden apparently calling in on a cell phone, visiting with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Coach, if for some reason you were going to make a comeback this year, you look around at these rookie quarterbacks. Any appeal to you? Which one would be the most appealing to work with?
Well, of course, there's Patrick Mahomes, and then you got Deshaun Watson, man. But I got to tell you, this Josh Dobbs kid out of Tennessee, he's an aerospace engineer. My favorite movie, Apollo 13. I can learn some things from this guy, man.
Coach, we know you're busy. We appreciate your time this morning. Thank you for weighing in.
Really appreciate you guys having me. I'm going to go have some power pellets myself, man. 9:30 in the morning, don't care, though.
You've been up for 6 hours, Coach. We know that. 9:30, you got up at 3:31. Wow. Coach Gruden joined us?
On a cell phone.
He's got good agents, I will say that. Not only are they able to negotiate all the rumors every year to leverage more money out of ESPN, he's got that Hooters deal. You think he gets lifetime Hooter wings?
I think he does.
Duh.
He's probably dialed up big time.
Dorn, why do you ask him? We could have went to Hooters with you, man.
Coach, you still there? Coach?
Coach! Buddy!
Coach! I love wings, Coach.
Coach me.
Coach.
Busy guy. I feel as if maybe, just the slim possibility exists that wasn't necessarily the real John Gruden.
Wait, what?
I think the possibility does exist to an extent there.
Possible, but not probable.
We were duped?
No.
Man. Jeez. Gruden?
I do believe he's coming out of the booth, Joe. He's got the itch. And you hear him, you see him. And you got to realize sometimes coaches' ego, they have that bravado that feels that, hey, look, I can do this. And hear everyone everywhere he goes, Gruden, when you're coming back, we love you, Gruden. You heard him there talking about the Marshawn and the Skittles and the power pellets. You hear him talking about McCone and all these different quarterbacks, what he can do. And he believes he can relate to any quarterback better than any coach in the National Football League, by far. You know he believes that. And not only on that, Joe, I think that this man believes he already has a built-in connection to the majority of these quarterbacks. Why? Because he sees them every year before the draft. So he's already built a kindred relationship with them. He's already got on the board with them. He knows some of what their strong points is, their weak points is. He believes that he can go in and walk in to any National League football team and really turn it around because he thinks he's instant credibility, which he is. And sometimes, though, it's probably before the fall. And I think Gruden, on the other hand, he knows he has it. But it'd be interesting to see how it fares, especially in the National Football League now, Joe.
He's got the easiest gig imaginable right now.
He does.
I have no idea why you would want to give up a job where you work a few hours a week, you're off for a good portion of the year, they pay you $6 million per, they fly you around, they give you a great per diem, you're eating well on the road, you get to do whatever you want. There's no pressure. Do you know that this guy literally does not criticize anyone? Every year he's in the booth, every player's the greatest. Every year he's on draft day, every player's the greatest. He loves everyone. They're all fantastic. They're all great. Every game's terrific. And that's it. He doesn't even have to give you any analysis. He can just tell you everyone's great. And it's like, yeah, man, Gruden's really on it today.
Well, a lot of great fighters, Joe, and a lot of great athletes, they stay too long. Sometimes they come back, they look at the level of competition out there, and he's no different than a great athlete. He's just a great coach. He looks at the coaches that are out there, and he goes, I'm still better than him. I can still do that. Just like an athlete tries to turn back the clock and think he can go out there, this is no different from this young coach. He believes he's better than a lot of coaches, and that's what will get him back out there, Dibs.
And a lot of times, Lo, and I know you're getting to be closer to my age, and you get to that point where you start looking not so much at how much can I earn, but what do I still want to do with my life? Years 50 through 70 are really the last peak years you have as a worker, and he's done the TV thing. He's become popular. He's become successful. He's made his money. His kids are now growing up, and they're getting ready to leave the house. And so you look at it, and you think, geez, if I could have one more shot, one more 10-year run at the National Football League, maybe I can give it another go. So I think it's as much about new challenges as it is anything else.
Russell Westbrook was offered $200 million, a max deal, more than he could get anywhere else, on July 1st. So 26 days later, why is that offer still unsigned? Steiny's going to swing by next. We'll ask him about that and more. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Happy Friday, everyone. Lowe, help me out with something. You're always talking about that good book.
Yes. Talk to me, Doc.
Really?
Tell me about forgiveness in the good book.
Well, Says you're supposed to forgive. Turn the other cheek. In the Old Testament, talk about an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But in the New Testament, because of the grace, you got to forgive.
I need you to explain something to me then.
Uh-oh.
Why are they not reading the good book at the University of Southern California? Oh! Why? Why is it that I had to read this quote from Pac-12 Media Day yesterday? Quote, right now with USC, with the administration and the athletic department have said is no, OJ will not be a part of our functions. That's been the statement. OJ Simpson, Heisman Trophy winner, not allowed to return to USC.
Well, I can answer that for you, Joe, and I'll stay in the good book because you can still forgive, you just don't forget. So they didn't say that they haven't forgave OJ or moved back.
I don't think that's what the good book says.
Forgiveness. But you don't forget. See, the only the,
so then are you truly forgiving him?
No, but see, the only one can forgive and forget. That's what it says in that good book since we're on it. The other one says you forgive, but you don't forget. Because if someone hits you every time you see him, I might forgive him one time. But if I keep walking into him, keep walking back to him, I got to have enough common sense to say, I didn't forget. I forgave him, but I ain't going to walk down that street again and keep getting my butt kicked. Right, Dibs?
That's right. That's right. But it's in that book, Forgive and Forget. So it's not forgiven. Not, if you don't forget, you're not really forgiven.
No. That's not true.
You're
that's
forgiven on the surface. It's a surface forgivance. But if you're not really going to forget, then you're not forgiving at all. You're faux forgiving.
That's far from the truth as I can think about it.
I mean, it was a 9-year stint for burglary. He's done his time. Why can't he go back to the University of Southern California? He was a major player at that organization. He was one of the biggest, most marquee football players that ever came out of that school. So why no?
Yeah,
why it's really no? Open it's to anyone you. At this point. I understand right. The situation in here, but I mean, it's really open to anyone.
Yeah, I mean, you got to realize UFC. When you're talking about USC, the university, that you can't. I just think that when you look at what's going on with all the stuff that surrounds OJ, what kind of distraction and what kind of a deal would that be? You can't have him on the sideline. I think that he's welcome to probably go to the games. They can't stop this guy from going to a game. He can go to any game he desires. I just think that as far as him being on the sideline and all those other distractions, that's just not going to be allowed.
If you were a front office member or owner of the Oklahoma City Thunder and you found yourself in a situation where you offered Russell Westbrook the max, more than anybody else could offer him, $200 million, and you did that on July 1st, and 26 days went by, and that contract still wasn't signed, based on the fact that the Kevin Durant divorce is still fresh in your memory, what would you be thinking at the current moment?
Personally, I'd be thinking this guy doesn't want to appear. If you already have this thing signed, if someone offered me $200 million, you got a max deal, and you say you want to be, and you're happy there, and you're already, KD's not there, if you truly want to be I think that his heart's not there. He can say what he wants. You got sitting there for 26 days. It's been there forever, and you don't want to sign it? Teach his own, but evidently, he's just saying that he probably wanted to go in a new direction.
I read a fantastic piece on The Ringer yesterday. Jason Concepcion was the author, and he brought up a really interesting point. And I don't think anyone had given him any credit for this yet, but last year, we destroyed Kevin Durant. We, not in the Bay Area, but publicly, most of the opinion of Kevin Durant last year was that by leaving Oklahoma City and joining a super team, that he was selling out, that he was taking the easy way out, that this was bad for the NBA, that super teams were a problem, that Adam Silver needed to do something about this, that the collective bargaining agreement needed to be adjusted. Well, fast forward 1 year to the Kyrie Irving situation. An individual, 25 years of age, says he wants to stake out on his own. He wants to be traded away from the best player in the NBA, and he wants to go it alone. And some of the same people who ripped Kevin Durant for taking the easy way out are ripping Kyrie Irving for leaving Cleveland and LeBron James. Pretty much a guarantee through the Eastern Conference, a chance to win another ring, and virtually no pressure whatsoever. Are we pretty much just a nation of complainers at this point?
Yes, and I think social media has given power to a lot of this complaining because you can instantaneously get your opinion out there and get your feelings felt. When the news surfaces that Kyrie Irving wants to leave Cleveland, people can be on either side of it. Good, Kyrie, you should go and do what you want to do. Or bad, don't leave LeBron James. This constant news cycle that lasts less than an hour. It used to be the 24-hour news cycle. Now it's the 24-minute news cycle. And for people to criticize Kevin Durant, I thought was stupid. For people to criticize Kyrie Irving, it's stupid in my opinion as well. Explore whatever opportunity you can explore. And if that means getting a trade, then go ahead and do what you need to do.
As it pertains to the fans, you better be real careful about buying jerseys in this day and age. The NBA has become so mobile that these dudes are all interested in two-year deals with one-year outs. Like the max deal for Steph, it's great that he wants to stay here, but how many different dudes are going to be on the move again next year? Chris Paul could be right back out there again. Carmelo Anthony at some point is going to be on the move. LeBron's going to be on the move. Next year, you could have Russell Westbrook and Paul George being on the move. That's part of the beauty of the NBA, is the attachment to the player rather than the team, rather than the city. The NFL has done a remarkable job of getting you to buy into the shield, which is how they're able to hold the players down. Salary cap league, lack of guarantees, easy to part ways. They've got to deal with CTE and cover-ups, but in the NBA, the players are calling their shots. There's a lot of freedom there, and it's very difficult to criticize the way in which Adam Silver does business. I mean, we have spent more time talking about the NBA in July than we probably did last year, and Kevin Durant joined Golden State last year. I don't know. Think about that. That'll do it for us, everybody. Matt Steinmetz is going to be coming up next. He's got you covered from 10 to noon. We appreciate you hanging out with us today. Hope you have an awesome weekend. For Low for Dibs, I'm Joe. We're back Monday morning at 6 a.m. right here on 95.7 The Game.
41 options. You had one option, and that was getting run over by Lorenzo Neal. I didn't want to call that play, man.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.